everyone. I'm Haley Allam, and this is Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you're a parent new to Luxembourg, then this is the podcast for you. From crèches to crèmes, we'll cover everything you need to know about raising kids and living your best life in the Grand Duchy. Moin, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today, I'm joined by Emily Cooper, otherwise known across social media as Millennial Mom Banter. Today, we'll hear her story about how she couldn't find her mom tribe, so she started a group on WhatsApp, and how that community has absolutely blossomed into over 1,700 members. They've got subgroups for moms in all different stages and from all different walks of life. The affectionate nickname of this massive group is called GPT Moms. Talk about being good at making connections. Emily shares how building that community has changed her life for the better and how you can join if you want. Plus, we'll hear all about her Luxembourg story. I do hope you enjoy the show. As always, you can reach me at momlife@rtltoday.lu or on social media at momlife in Luxembourg. Thanks so much and enjoy the show. Hi, Emily. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. So today we're going to talk to you about the importance of building community here in Luxembourg. Obviously, all of us expats are navigating life here without the village that everyone says that it takes, but we still don't have. And we'll also touch on something that you are really passionate about, future-proofing. So you'll have to tell me all about that. Mm-hmm. But before we get into that, why don't we start with your Luxembourg story? Tell me why you're here, how long you've been here, what you're doing here, how it started, how it's going, stuff like that.
Yeah, sure. So I'm actually one of the original expat kids. Well, maybe not original, they might have been in the 70s, but I moved over here when I was four. So in 1995, Dad got a job over here, so we moved over here. And originally, we actually decided to live in Belgium. So I went to Belgium school, and then my mum started working in the financial industry. About 5 years later, we moved to Luxembourg, but then I stayed in the Belgium school because we lived right on the border of Belgium. And it was an interesting time because at the time, like, the majority of your expat community, especially in the business sector, the financial sector, were English, Irish, American. And there was a few, you know, from other countries, quite a lot of Swedish as well, and maybe some South African, but that was it, really. It wasn't the melting pot that it is today.
Okay, so you are British, but you basically grew up in Belgium, or Belgium / Luxembourg, but you're totally fluent in French. I mean, I heard you. I heard you in the lobby.
Yeah, it's always really funny because when people hear me speak French, like, they can't tell that I'm English. So sometimes when I just start speaking French, they're like, oh, look, I thought you were English. I'm pretty much native language for both. Yeah.
Amazing. Mm. You always stayed, I guess, in the local school. Did you ever learn Luxembourgish?
No. So this is the thing. Because we were living in Belgium at first, and then I think by the time we built our house near the Belgian border, it was like I was like 10, or at least my sister was like 10 or 11, and we just felt like we were a bit too old to go and throw us in like this like Luxembourgish system, Luxembourgish language, when we were like doing so well in the French school. Plus, we were about to become teenagers, like we were about to have some other problems to deal with, you know. And because we were so close to the Belgian border, it just made sense for us to stay with our friends in our school. So we moved to Luxembourg, and unfortunately, never really learned Luxembourgish. I kind of wish with hindsight that my parents had thought about maybe putting us in some like kind of language activity on the weekend, although that may not have even existed at the time, to be honest with you.
Because the whole expat thing just wasn't as popular.
It wasn't as big. And also most of the expats until then were being subsidized by the companies that were bringing them in. So basically they were having access to international schools, European schools, etc. Because those most of them wouldn't just move because they applied for a job on LinkedIn, because that didn't exist. Mm-hmm. So it would more be either internal movement or headhunting, which would include that education compensation within the relocation package. So we were quite rare. We were quite a rare breed. Myself and my sister, I knew a couple of other people like that as well, where we weren't offered those opportunities. So we just had to kind of integrate. Whereas now it's the norm.
In your heart, what do you feel that you are?
do you know, I went through such issues with like my identity when I was a kid, because when I would go on holiday in the UK, people would be like, you're not British, you're, you know, you're Belgian or you're French or whatever. And then here people would be like, well, you're not Belgian, are you? Like, you know, you're English. And for a long time, I really struggled with like not understanding who I was. And then at one point I did really learn to understand that actually it's like what makes me unique. And it's a big strength of mine that I have this kind of dual nationality. So I don't really feel, I like to say I'm like a child of the world, you know, like I don't really feel one way or the other. Yeah.
I think that's great though.
Yeah.
Obviously all the parents here who are raising their kids in the Grand Duchy have bought into this kind of third culture kid experience. So it's great to hear from someone who has lived through it already.
Yeah.
How was growing up here? You were kind of one foot in Belgium, one foot in here, it seems like.
Yeah, I cannot complain. I think I had an extremely privileged, safe, and kind of clean upbringing in terms of the things that we had access to, benefits that obviously parents have, and being in this kind of little microcosm of like English speakers in Luxembourg, we had a big community of friends who were all English speakers. I actually grew up in the church, although I don't practice anymore, but that was like a lot of the community that we had. I moved back to England when I was 17 to finish school. And I remember like, because a lot of the times when I was younger, my mom kept looking into ways that she could send me to England to school, because I kept saying I wanted to go there. Like I wanted to go back to England. I wanted to be like, I wanted to be more, I felt more British than like anyone here. I really had big identity issues. Eventually we finally did it for like my last year of school. And I remember arriving in the UK and being like, oh, I've been an idiot. Like I had it so good. The quality of life that I had in Luxembourg growing up was amazing. So yeah. And it was very safe, you know, so we would just be getting on buses and going to Belle Étoile and Auchan when we were like, you know, 13, 14. And when I got a bit older, you know, we'd go out to all the pubs and stuff. And it's a nice place, actually, to grow up. Yeah.
And is that why you ended up coming back to raise your kids here?
I came back because I was living in London with my ex, and I was trying to get a job in the film industry. But like in London, it's crazy. Like unless you get lucky, someone helps you get a foot in the door, or you do like an internship for free for like 2 years. Like it's really hard. So I calculated once I was doing something like 65 hours of work a week. I was working on two different film internships while also working as a nanny, while also working in a cinema a couple of nights a week. And then my friend, my boyfriend's sister was also running like a crêperie food stand. And I was also working on that with her. So I was just like on my feet. I was weighing like 48 kilos soaking wet. I was feeling very low. And I just felt after like almost 3 years that I just couldn't like do it. And I actually ended up like going on holiday with my mom, and we went to like a yoga retreat, and I just broke down in tears. And I was just like, nothing about my life is working right now. Like I'm completely lost. And my mom was like, come home. I'll look after you. We'll figure it out. Like, you know, you can work in bars until you find something, or if you need to go somewhere else, just come home, settle down. We'll sort it. And that at that moment, like, weight was just lifted off of me.
Oh, yeah. I have the chills. I know. Have the chills. So after all this, you wanting to go home and be British and go to school there, life was just way too hard. And you're like, F this.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not trying to say any bad words on this show. And then you ended up coming home, and home was actually, in fact, Luxembourg.
Home was Luxembourg. And yeah, I mean, I love my mom for that so much, because she's always just been so supportive, even though like I messed up a lot during those young years. And I think it's really nice when you realize, I think around this age, around 30, when you talk about your 20s with people, you realize, no, you weren't the exception. We were all like messing up and pretty clueless. So at the time it felt like the end of the world, but in the end it was a huge thing. And 6-7 months later, I met my husband. I wasn't even looking, met in a bar, very late at night. And yeah, it's one thing that made me stay here is that I wasn't exceptional in London, but here I was. Because so I started deciding that I wanted to work in marketing because it's very similar to film. And like at the time, finding someone who was fluent in both French and English and could write in both of those languages, you know, in marketing or in anything really, but especially in marketing where, you know, you need to communicate and both verbally and written and, you know, promotion, etc. That was really cool. So that's how I kind of like, you know, got into marketing and kind of went from there and realized that all the skills and the things that I loved about wanting to work in the film industry, I wanted to work in film distribution. So basically it's film marketing, applied to marketing. And so that's where I kind of like took a sideways step and started my career.
I love your pivot into marketing, and I want to salute you for your bilingualism, because those of us who don't speak French, it's really difficult to find a job. I just want to ask you, when you were four, did you fight coming here?
No. Well, I wouldn't say so. I didn't fight it when I was four, but when we were there, I had a lot of moments where I was like very lost. I mean, I think it was around like 5 or 6 that my mum deeply started researching boarding schools in the UK, because I was feeling very low and like I didn't belong, because I think my sister's kind of like a popular girl, like everybody likes her, she can kind of settle into lots of, she's in a, today that translates into an amazing networker and people person. Me, I'm like, I'm an acquired taste and I grow on people, and I'm quite quirky. And I've now learned to see that as a great thing, that I'm quirky. But back in the day, I just felt weird and different. And that was really hard. Yeah.
So you had this kind of watershed moment of I'm coming home, and you were able to pivot into marketing. You've got your bilingual French English thing going on. Was it after you had kids that you realized that you needed a bigger community, or what made you go for that?
Yeah, so actually came back to Luxembourg. Most of my friends before leaving for the UK were in Belgium. And we just kind of lost touch after I moved to the UK, because, well, we just didn't see each other very often. And, you know, our lives went in different places. And plus, I mean, I was kind of an asshole in like my late teens and 20s. Like, I kind of just was in the UK and just kind of like shut off the rest. I mean, sometimes I wouldn't even talk to my mum for long periods of time. So not proud of it, but I'll admit it. Some of the other friends that I had were some Euro school kids, and them typically would leave. Like, they would go to uni in different places around Europe. And so when I came back, there was no one there. And the people that were there from my Belgian friends, I tried to connect with. And like, the reality was, is that we were just very different people. I, by that point, had lived in like 4 different places. I'd like, you know, traveled a lot. I'd done a lot. And maybe they hadn't moved around that much. And mm-hmm. we just weren't the same people. And so I kind of was lost. I found my husband. And then with my husband, we like made a few friends. But it wasn't actually until just before having kids that I started to like make friends again. And my sister actually always used to say to me, there are some key moments in your life where you make friends. And you've got school, like school, including school and university. And then it's usually when you have kids, or when you like meet people who are in that same space who are about to have kids, or when you get married, like when you start to become a couple. And at the time I was like, yeah, whatever, I've got loads of friends, I meet people all the time. I think I was at uni at the time. But since then, I've really seen how true that is. Only really started to have like a little like connection of like friends about 3 years after moving back. Like, we had some friends, mostly my husband's friends I just hung out with, or like my mom's friends, because I have a lot of friends.
Is your husband Luxembourgish?
No, my husband's from France, just off the border in Longwy. Yeah.
Okay. You mostly were hanging out with his friends. So
yeah.
You started making friends in Luxembourg?
Yeah, I mean, I had some friends. I don't know. I think that it was a real transient moment. So it was one of those moments where you'd like go out with a few friends over and over again for a few months, and then you kind of lose touch and see other friends. And we were just going out a lot and just seeing who we saw. But I wasn't really like building any like big links until I posted on Facebook being like, I need a gym buddy. Does someone want to come? And one of my colleagues' wives, who I'd met briefly at like a wine and cheese evening that I'd organized like for the team. And I remember when I met her, I was like, oh my gosh, she's so cool. Like, that's the friend I've been looking for so many years, like this person. And I was like really trying to like, you know, bond, but there was a lot of other people around, and like, she's Cambodian Chinese, and there was another, I think she was from Singapore, but another Asian person there. And like, they were kind of talking and getting along. And I was like, oh man. And she messaged me and she was like, I'll go to the gym with you.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. And so we went for like an insane booty workout. Out, and the rest was history. Like, we were best friends.
And was that a Facebook group, like a mom's group, or do you remember?
No, because I wasn't a mom yet then. It was the Ladies of Luxembourg.
Yeah, okay, yeah. True friendship. True on the Ladies in Luxembourg.
Yeah.
True story.
Yeah. And but the thing where we bonded really is that like, we were both recently married. We knew we wanted kids. So even though we didn't have kids yet, like, we were on that same level. We were like, okay, we're a few years from having kids. Well, for her, about a year and a half or something. We're still having fun. We're still going out. We still want to, you know, do stuff like that as well. So it was like the right moment. Yeah.
Right place, right time. I actually have a similar story. I live in Dubai, so this is my second expat experience. And I remember being so desperate, even for an American accent. Mm. So I went to the American Business Club or something, and I met this girl, and her name was Laura, and she was actually, I think, the head of recruitment, which is kind of funny, because my closest friend here now is also the head of recruitment for the American Women's Club. Is that weird? And we just hit it off. And I was like, we are going to be friends. Same thing. Recently married, didn't have kids yet, but wanted kids. Yeah, you're right. So you have a massive WhatsApp group. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that. Where did that start?
So, yeah. So just to kind of like go back to her. So she had a baby in 2020.
COVID.
I remember she was trying to reach out to like meet people like in the same kind of, you know, moment of pregnancy or moment of like newborn age and like meet with people. But it was just so hard. Like you couldn't be indoors and, you know, just COVID babies in general. Like my niece is also a COVID baby. And like I remember thinking back how hard it must have been to be so isolated in those early days. Because we, when she was, even before she was pregnant, we were joking about being like, oh, I can't wait to have a baby and like, to be pregnant or to have a baby and like go for coffee meets, like, you know, with the moms, like we always see them in ready, like looking like they're having a great time, you know. And we're like, oh, yeah, that'll be so fun when we can do that. And we did kind of have a loose plan to have a baby around the same time. That didn't work out. I had a loss, and my husband was a bit late in getting with the program of wanting a kid as well. and so she ended up having a baby a year before, mostly because of the loss, really, that we weren't at the same time. And so, you know, we both had this plan of like, oh, yeah, we're definitely going to find other mums that we can hang out and do stuff with. And then when I saw just how like hard it was for her that she couldn't have that when she had a baby. So it was 2021 that she had a baby, but still COVID times. And I just knew, I was like, okay, even though my friend, many of my friends and sisters have babies, like when I'm like in that situation, I really want to like be able to like meet and see people who are in that same exact moment, like hanging out with your friend who's got a 1-year-old when you're like deep in the newborn, like, you know, 2-month colics and all of that. It's not the same if you're really looking for like community and support, or just like just looking to feel like you belong somewhere where people are going through the same thing.
Absolutely. It's a totally different ball game.
It's a totally different ball game. Yeah. So what happened is there was a couple of conversations on like different Facebook groups about meeting people. I'm having a baby in September. I'm having a baby at this date. Like, you know, would like to see people. Now, the thing that I underestimated is I thought I'd already want to be doing all of that when I was pregnant. And actually, it turns out when I'm pregnant, because you're not in it yet, I had like 1 or 2 meetups with some pregnant ladies, but it just felt like we were still diverging more than we were converging. You know, you still got a lot of your stuff going on. You're not pregnant. Apart from maybe asking a few questions about like, you know, your CNS things that you need to send off and your parental leave, like there wasn't, for me anyway, much of a vibe. Anyway, me and this other girl decided to create this WhatsApp group for August. I think it was July and August 2022 mums, and a bunch of people joined.
Delivering.
Yeah. Because it was really like the idea of like, okay, right when I'm like in that newborn thing, I want to go with people for coffees. And so there's really this thing actually about having a baby in August versus having a baby the following January. Like you're going to be in very different spaces.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so we had this August group and it didn't actually take off very well. Like people were talking inside of it, but no one really had meetups. And then in parallel to that, a bunch of mums went to like one of these birth circles. That there's loads of these different things people can go to.
What's a birth circle?
Oh, so a birth circle is organized usually by someone who's kind of a support professional in the kind of maternity sort of area. So this is organized by a doula and like a birth and movement coach. The only one I know of in Luxembourg, and it's basically you get a bunch of mums together. Some mums share their birth story while future mums listen to the birth stories. And it's like a way of kind of exchanging and hearing different people's experiences, both positive and negative. And it can also be a way of, you know, meeting other mums and bonding.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that before.
Oh, really? It's huge in America. Yeah. And before having a baby, I must have listened to about 100 birth stories on podcasts.
Wow. Okay. So... My oldest is almost 9, so maybe it wasn't huge like nine, 10 years ago.
Yeah, maybe.
And then maybe I was too exhausted by the third. I digress.
So anyway, basically, in parallel to that, a bunch of mums went to a birth circle, and they were more due kind of late September, October, November. A lot of them were actually October, November. And they create a autumn mums group. And that one just takes off. There's no rhyme or reason why, but that one just takes off. They're doing brunches and they're doing meetups and stuff like that. Basically, there was an overlap of people in the two different groups. And so I joined this autumn one and I was like, well, this one's much more active, and start doing stuff with them and went to a brunch. And then WhatsApp released this feature called Community. And I'm super like digital and techie and I love testing new features. And me and another mum were like, well, that would be really cool because we could basically create a community and people can have different groups based on different places that they live, or, you know, the different due dates, different interests, activities and things like that. Because we'd already started some subgroups about stroller walk. Someone had started a group for museum visits and things like that. And we were like, we should just bring this all together. And we were aware of a 2023 group that had already existed and a 2021 group. And so basically, I just created the community and brought all of these groups in.
If you know nothing about WhatsApp communities, what do you need to know?
I mean, honestly, it's pretty simple. These things are designed for anyone to be able to use it. But basically, what you need to know is getting into the group doesn't mean that you need to enter into any... getting into the community, sorry. You access the community, and then it's completely up to you which groups you join or leave. And you can scroll through the different groups. You can enter them. You can leave them when you want. There's an announcement page where only admins can post. So I use that to actually share promos. So different people, I basically leverage it for like mums who have something that they want to share, or if they want to promote a business or promote their business, anything really. We get people promoting things like, you know, baby yoga, like their small businesses, their jewelry brands, things like that. And then there are different admins for different groups, and anyone can create a group. They suggest it and I accept it or reject it, depending on what the topic is or if it's too duplicative. And then different groups have admins. So I'm not actually an admin of each group. I'm not in every group. I think I need to do a cleanup because I think we're at like 80 groups right now.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And is it all English speaking?
No, we actually have a group for Spanish speaking mums. We have a group for, Arab mums. I think we have a group for Portuguese mums. There's lots of different there's a group for French mums as well. The main groups are English speaking, like the main community ones. So we have one like for working mums. We have one for breastfeeding support. We have one for one called Super Mums, which is basically like older mums and younger mums, and like younger mums can ask questions and get the wisdom. And get the wisdom from older mums.
So how do you join? Do you have to be invited?
Yes. So we had a couple of spams and a couple of people shared the invite link on like Facebook. And I just don't want that to happen because then it's just a mess to have to organize. Like it's just me and a couple of admins, and it's mostly me doing a lot of the organization structure of it. So just find me on Instagram, send me a DM, and I'll send an invite link for anyone who wants to join.
That's amazing. Okay. Well, I want to talk about your Instagram presence, but before I do, you have something like 1,700 members.
We're almost at 1,700, yeah.
To me, that's like almost the population of Luxembourg. What has having this community done for you?
Well, it's awakened a deep love and passion for just bringing people together, shining a light on vulnerabilities that are on the vulnerabilities that women can have and the struggles that they have that go overlooked or are taken for granted. It's made me realize how much my country has changed since I was a kid, you know, how diverse and multilingual and multicultural it is. And it's just whenever I see people, sometimes some people send a message in one of the groups and it's just like, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, everybody who've like supported me while I was going through this, that or the other. Like, it's so nice to know that I can come on here and share or ask questions, look for support, and I always get a positive answer and I always feel good. One of our friends actually calls it GPT mums. Actually, it's her husband. It's her husband that coined that term. But it really is. And also there's something for everyone because, you know, some people don't want to meet with lots of mums and do that. Like, they're more kind of homebodies or have their own friends. But you can join the community and just be there for the chat, for talking, for support. And once you feel good, you can leave it. That's fine. Or you can join it and you can be a catalyst and you can start planning meetings. Like one of my friends, she's actually a small business owner. She just opened a play cafe. She's such a connector. So she's like organizing Mums Who Dine dinners. She's organizing like parents brunches and like all sorts of stuff like that. And we're always so grateful to her because she's always the one who's going to like take initiative and bring people together. And so yeah, you really can just make it what you want.
In a group of 1700, obviously you're going to have some super connectors and some more kind of introverted people. Usually are the friendships made through the discourse on the chat, or usually is it that then you go to a brunch and then you make a friend in person? How does that work?
I can't speak for everyone because obviously since the start, it's just changed so much. And there are groups I'm not even in that are thriving, you know, especially like the Spanish mums group, the Portuguese mums group, the book club group, you know, like I can't speak for all of them. I love hearing it when people like sort of share back that are going on. But initially at the start, at least, it was really a mix of both. It really was a mix of both. Or like people would like exchange regularly. And then one person would be like, oh, I'm heading to Mel Park. Does someone want to join? And then we're like, oh, yeah, OK, I'll come along. A lot of the connections usually are made in those initial newborn days because that's when you have the most time. That's when you need to get out of the house because you're going crazy. Once people go back to work, there's a separation. And I think that's the hardest moment. If you haven't yet found your mum tribe, you haven't yet found your mum friends, if you've gone back to work, that's the hardest time to find that. And so there are things that I have in the pipeline that I want to do. Like I said, one of my friends already organizes these like dinners for mums. And then me and another content creator are going to start organizing like aperitifs for mums, you know, to gather like a maximum 12 people to try and help connect some of these like people who are now like past that, but still looking for connection.
I was going to say, so it's not just, of course, newborn moms want to meet other moms because they're just in it, you know? But if you arrive here and you've got kids that are 8 and 10, you still need to find your tribe too. And
exactly.
In a lot of ways, those classrooms are more closed off and the kids are older. So, you know, you don't, it's not like you see them at drop off and pick up. It's a totally different deal.
Yeah. And that's something that I'm really trying, to bring in is that I don't think at the moment we do have an older mum group and I don't know how active it is. I should join it to sort of see what's going on in there because obviously this started by a bunch of, you know, newborn 2022 mums and it's grown from there. But I do really want it to be inclusive. So like you say, I really want like older mums to, I mean, they might not want to bond with mums anymore, you know, it might not be a criteria when you're a new mum, like does consume you, it does become your whole identity for a certain time. But for those who do want to like meet other mums or just have like good friendships with mums, then I do want there to be things that attract them as well. Yeah.
And we talked about it's a private group. So in order to join, you have to get the invite.
Yes. Yeah, it's just like a link and then you click on it and then it opens up the community and you click join and that's it.
So how can someone reach you on Instagram and you will give them the link?
Yeah, so they can just send me a DM at Millennial Mum Banter. I'm sure you'll put the link in the show notes and they can join from there. Yeah.
Millennial Mom Banter.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. And before we go, I want to talk about future proofing. So this is something we talked about in our initial brainstorm, which I'd never even heard of. And you're really passionate about. So tell me about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a growing passion. You know, we all have these kind of intrusive thoughts or these anxieties when we become a mom. And one of my biggest ones was, what's the future going to look like for my kid? And I think one of the biggest mistakes that our parents' generation have made is that they haven't thought about our future going through life, you know. They thought about a future maybe by putting aside some money or, you know, like thinking about who they want us to marry or like how many grandchildren they want, but they haven't thought about like what our future looks like from like an actual like geo-economical perspective, from sustainability, education even. And I'm an overthinker. Some might say I may have ADHD. I've decided not to look into that. But anyway, I just think about this. I'm like, okay, like, what does education look like? When my kid is like 14, are we really still going to be reading out of textbooks? And like, you know, I don't even know. We probably don't write exams anymore. Maybe we use computers. I don't actually even know at this point. Or actually, like, is it going to be more interesting for my daughter to like, you know, do online courses and like, you know, have like virtual classrooms with people all around the world who like converge with her interests or the way her brain works. Because one of my biggest disappointments for me is my education. The education that I had in Belgium was like, you learn everything off by heart. You aren't encouraged like to think, you know, have like critical thinking or like be cognitive in any way. Literally, like if you wrote something out that wasn't exactly by heart, you'd lose points. And
wow.
Yeah. No, like seriously, it took me, I was a late bloomer in figuring out my skills because I'm a really creative person, but I can't draw and I can't paint and I can't, you know, I'm not artistic. And so they didn't know what to do with me. They didn't know how to, you know, encourage that and nurture that and grow that. I've also got quite a good, like, logical and organized mind, and like I'm quite strategic. And you know, I did economics for a year, but that was like, it didn't really hit the spot. Like, you know, we didn't have like, we did an economics class and we didn't even break out into groups, like, and make like a fake company and say like, you know, how we're going to grow it or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, nothing was teamwork oriented, or like there was no participation. That's why I love film school, because it was just about getting into teams, and it was like you've got to beg, steal or borrow and get your film made, and everybody has to wear lots of different hats and you have to deal with people and just get stuck in. And in UK schools are like that, and in America of course they're super well known for being like that, but I don't know if they're like that today here, but they weren't when I was a kid.
So season two sneak peek is going to be is going to be all about English speaking schools here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to interview parents from the options. Mm. So tune in.
Nice.
And you'll find out. Okay. So how are you future proofing your daughter for this education thing?
Well, that comes later, okay. But I just want to be very conscious of the fact that I want to notice what her skills are, what her interests are, what really I want to encourage to grow, and I want to like figure out the best way to grow that. But right now, the main thing that I'm working on from future proofing, like the other major thing, is sustainability. The world is going to look very, very different when she's like 15, 16, 17, 18.
She's two.
Yeah, she's right. Two. So it's going to be
like
very
in the next
different.
10, 20 years.
I mean, look, we failed the Paris Accord. Oops. Every COPs are an absolute joke. The weather this summer was terrible because the Atlantic Ocean is 1 degree warmer. Like, that's all it takes for everybody to be miserable all summer. Extreme weather events are increasing. We basically, if we continue the way we continue with like our meat industry, we won't have enough room to house the meat to feed to feed people. 2/3 of the feed of the agricultural stuff that we grow goes towards feeding animals, not humans. Like, that's not a sustainable thing. So one of the things that I've chosen to do is that my kid eats plant-based. Once in a while, if she has a bit of meat, if she's curious, she'll have it. But her primary diet at home is completely plant-based, because I want her to grow up being like, oh yeah, that's normal. Not like, oh God, I don't get to eat meat. Like, you know, it's not fair. Because the reality is that in a few years, like, it could be really expensive or really toxic or not available at all. So yeah, that I just thought, well, why don't I just give her a predominantly plant-based diet? It's only going to be good for her. It's going to be good for her gut. It's going to be good for, you know, her brain. And if later on she says, no, actually, Mom, I like chicken, then fine, she can have it. But at least she's been used to having a diet that was more oriented around plants.
I feel like we could do a whole other episode on raising your kids plant-based.
Mm, yeah.
Yes. Okay. We'll put that in the hopper. Is it hard?
One thing that's annoying is that, like, so far she doesn't like things like falafel and like veggie patties, which would be like my go-to thing, you know, a few vegetables and like a nice veggie patty. But I eat predominantly plant-based. I don't call myself anything. I say I'm non-denominational, but I do center my diet around plants. So it's not like I'm giving her something completely different to what we eat. We never buy meat. In the summer, we buy a bit of fish because, you know, it's nice. And I let her have some fish. It's not like we're giving her something completely different. So no, it's fine. Yeah.
Great. So if someone wants to reach you, how can they find you? Well, I guess on Instagram?
Yes. So I have as well as the WhatsApp community, I also have an Instagram account, which I use to just like voice the hard stuff that people don't always talk about. That's kind of my brand, is just like really unfiltered, honest motherhood. I also pepper in a little bit of like local recommendations or like, you know, Luxembourg life and some foodie stuff as well. So you can find me there at Millennial Mum Banter.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Emily.
Thank you so much. And well done for this podcast. I think it's much needed. I think a lot of people are going to tune in. Aww. And I'll make sure I'll be promoting it for you as well.
Yes. Thank you so much. Yes. I appreciate that. Is there a plant-based WhatsApp group?
There is. Yes. We have like a I think I call it like plant-based eating or veggie plant-based eating. And so some people share questions about how to include more of the plant-based protein or iron concerns, things like that. And then occasionally we share our meals and stuff. It's not, I wouldn't say it's the most active, but it's there when you need it. Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. Okay. So if someone wants to join the WhatsApp group, they can find you at Millennial Mom Banter. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap of this episode of Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you like the show, I'd love to hear from you. Please leave a comment, or even better, share the show with another mom friend. And if you have a topic you'd like to see covered, or you're interested in being a guest on the show, feel free to email me, momlife@rtltoday.lu. And if you want to be social, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Mom Life in Luxembourg. Merci, Filmus, and adieu.